cut them out, but sometimes the board op forgets. I've actually heard it on the radio, us talking in the ads. That's but Jason would never do that. He's our board op. Hey, Lou, what's up?
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Hot Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty, crunchy 365 degrees minus Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Michael and Randy? Can you feel it?
Yeah, man.
Oh, yes, it is. But the temperature is much lower tonight.
And the Freedom Fiends, I'm hoping that we get up to zero here sometime soon. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license and earmuffs. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
You said muffs. All right. So we got our, this is Michael Dean. How are you doing, Lou?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Would you like me to introduce everybody?
Yes, please. I interrupted you, but yes, please.
Hi, I am Lou, the Chop Shop Rooster. We're joined by the Wampus Cat and the Freedom Fiends in-house counsel, Randy England, and MWD in a windowless bunker, Michael W. Dean.
Yeah, I'm looking for my weather. I think that weather.com froze, so I don't even know what my weather is. 16 degrees. Oh, that's nice. It's going to get, we're getting 12 inches, though, on Friday, so nifty.
Well, I looked at the antenna that I received my internet service on, and I can see ones and zeros. Normally, they're dropping like in the Matrix, but now they're like frozen like icicles.
Like so, a dripping faucet. They're just going bloop.
Yeah, my internet is literally frozen.
Bloop. The Matrix is slowed down to a faucet drip. Hey, Randy, how are you doing in-house counsel in his house?
Yeah. What do you want to know tonight?
I don't know, but I'm going to go check the audio. Okay, Lou. Hey, Lou, say something, Lou.
Hey, something, Lou. Is that what you're looking for?
Is this a late sound check that's going on right now?
No. He had mentioned something about going to check the LRN feed, so I don't really know what that's about because he's never explained it, but I did hear him say something about going to check the LRN feed. But anyway,
well, the only thing you can get on that is sound, so that'd be a sound check.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Maybe he wants to find out if we're streaming live on there, or maybe he wants to check out the sound quality, or maybe he's just very OCD tonight. But anyway, how in the happy Halloween are you? I haven't spoken to you in at least a month, I think.
Oh, hasn't been that long. Well, you know, you guys are actually, both of you, making me feel much better about the weather, because it's about 20 degrees here, and it just sounds horrible.
It's all the rioting that heats it up there. All the rioting.
Yeah, I'm quite a long way from Ferguson. But, you know, 12 inches on Friday, good for you, Michael. Do you have to be anywhere, or can you just kind of hunker down?
No, and I'm actually going to pay a guy to come shovel out the driveway because I can't do it. Because I have yet another health problem I found out. I'm actually getting, like, healthy enough that I probably couldn't, like, shovel the whole driveway, but I could probably go run the snowblower, you know, like, up the sidewalk, from the sidewalk to the sidewalk, up to my, you know, up to my door, and then I'd have to go in and be on oxygen for a while, which is a vast improvement over a year ago or even 6 months ago. But I just found out I have a hernia. Well, I kind of knew it because, like, my belly button's sticking out about an inch, like one of those Biafrans. But so I gotta get that taken care of.
Well, Michael, when it rains, it pours. I tell you, down here in Missouri, though, if you referred to using a snowblower as shoveling, somebody would slap you.
Oh no, I mean both. The guy does both, and I do both. I call it snow mowing, actually, because it's kind of like a lawnmower for snow. Yeah,
kind of. Yeah. Except it throws it out the top instead of, you know, the side or whatever. Yep. Unless you're one of those people that catches it all in a bag and hauls it to the city dump, which I'm
too lazy but you know what I've seen? I've actually seen a thing, instructions on the web how to build a brass catcher for a handgun, which I'm like, who would need that? Although anybody who values their privacy, but you know, it'd also be useful in a murder, I think.
very useful. Sometimes you want to recycle your brass and you might lose it, so you hang a little brass.
Yeah, because if you're a reloader, then it's a brilliant idea.
There you go.
Yeah, because for some silly reason, it's darn near impossible to find shiny metal in grass at the range.
Yeah, but you know, it looks kind of dumb though, hanging off your gun, doesn't it? Off of a pistol. I don't know. It seems goofy. I feel like I haven't gone through the whole experience unless that hot brass is flying out the side, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it might go down some girl's shirt or something.
I was going to say, one of the first times DJ and I went shooting, she wore a low-cut shirt just because it was summer and it was hot and it was L.A. And never did that again, no matter what the weather, you know, when we went shooting at the range.
But never forget that time. You had so much fun.
Yep.
Yeah. Something to talk about. You know, I mean, here we were on the radio. You got to talk all the time.
Worms.
And so it's good to have things to talk about. Do we have anything more important to talk about, though, Michael?
I got a whole bunch of stuff. You know,
we'll get around to it. That's what I thought.
Lou's got a bunch of stuff that's, you know, about what's in the news, which is important. But we're going to talk about that in the second hour after I leave, because I got stuff to talk about that's timeless. Absolutely timeless. I hear someone
breathing. Plus, my stuff will make it in the best of.
Yeah, mine won't. Mine's just me complaining and listing my enemies list on the air. Not really.
Selling Nixon.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was somebody I was talking to the other day, like, you know, who was a good friend of mine who is blocked by or, you know, has blocked or is enemies or is mad at, like, you know, three people that I am friends with and then on Facebook. And then I hate that friends with has replaced friends with on Facebook. Like, people just say friends with. No, it's friends with on Facebook. And I haven't even checked in on Facebook today because I get busy, you know, basically ever since my 3-day Facebook prison and I got out, I'm kind of like, oh yeah. Cause you know, it just kind of broke the thread of all the conversations I was on. And I realized I'm not really addicted to Facebook. It's just inertia that keeps me there. So, you know, like, if one day banning, I came back and I was like, got to get back in these conversations. But 3 days, all the threads I'm on that I cared about died. So
stale, yes.
I think every once in a while, if I have a lot of work to do, I'm just going to post that Hitler meme of Cantwell that got me blocked and say, I need a vacation, and post it.
You know, I wish you wouldn't do that, though. It's so annoying. Am I the only person who's really annoyed at people who get on Facebook and go, I need to announce to the world, y'all need to know that I'm going to take a break from Facebook because of blah, blah, blah. You know,
no, I know. It's called rage. That's their name for that. It's called rage quit.
Yeah, who cares? Killing. Well, no, but then they say that they got to get off. And, you know, I look at those and you get to know these people. And I look at it and I go, yeah, I give him 2 weeks. Okay. You know,
I rage quit Facebook 4 years ago and I was gone over a year. And the reason it was funny how I came back, because I came back, didn't even use my real name, just came back. I didn't post. I wasn't stalking. I wasn't sock puppeting. The one thing Facebook's really useful for is pretty much since everyone's on it, when you get an email from somebody, if you want to find out if they're crazy, you can search their email address on Facebook and find them. And I usually do that to find. I had to do that to find someone that was, you know, being a Serenity vampire. So I got on for that. And after a while, I'm like, you know, I started like following a few friends of mine and then like commented on something and they're like, wait, you sound like someone I know. And then I revealed myself and changed my name to Michael Fien, my real Facebook name, and was on there for a while. But yeah, I was gone for a good year and I didn't rage quit. And if I quit again, I'm not going to be rage quitting either. I wouldn't leave Facebook because I'm mad at people on there. It's really easy to block them. The reason I would leave Facebook is because I have found that anybody can get you blocked for anything. And I don't want to put time into a place where that's possible. You know, I'd rather be off building the decentralized DNS systems where no one can censor you.
But are the things that you were blocked for, are they so trivial that they would block you from Facebook, but you could actually talk about it on the radio?
I did it nonstop. Yeah, which is another reason I don't mind being
blocked. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's like most people get blocked on Facebook and they're like, my free speech is, I can't contact anybody. I can't. And I'm like, I'll go on the radio and talk to far more people than I talk to on Facebook.
So does that make Zuckerberg more fascist than our own government?
Yeah, he's pretty fashy.
Our.
You got to.
You know what I'm talking about, Jack.
Put a bip in the swear jar. So I have a question here, Michael. Yes. While you were in Facebook jail, did you get any new ink? Or should I say, did you
no,
get
No, but
any
I
new
found
toner?
Religion. I found religion like most people in prison, and we're going to talk about that. I'm going to read.
Tell us about how Odin has led you to
spaghetti, flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah.
My wife was playing a game called, what is it? It's Kleptocats. Have I told you about that? It's a game where cats go steal things for you and bring them for you, and you encourage them to do it. Not something I'd get for a kid. That's teaches bad things. But one of the things in it that the cat brings back is a book about the religion of Pastafarianism and Flying Spaghetti Monster. And she's like, this game makes up some great stuff. And I'm like, that's a real thing, and it's been in some... She was amazed to find out it's actually been in some lawsuits against the state. Do you know about that?
Wow. Oh, yeah, it's been a lawsuit. No, it's a joke. It's always been a joke, except some guy, didn't he want to have his driver's license picture taken with a bowl of spaghetti dumped onto his head or something? Was that? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah.
And he was trying to make a point, but it was a joke.
Yep. Well, it was also, I think there was some, I think it entered into some lawsuit of like somewhere somebody wanted to, you know, they wanted to take the Bible. The atheists wanted to get the Bible statue, Ten Commandments, from out in front of the courthouse. And somebody got a petition to, with a lot of signatures, to put a Pastafarian statue next to the Ten Commandments in the courthouse. And they were planning on putting the Ten Commandments back after taking it away. And it looked like it was possible that the Pastafarians were going to win and get to put their flying spaghetti monster next to the Bible, open to the Ten Commandments. And the people trying to put the Bible there retreated.
Yeah. If I'd have been on their side, I'd have gone minimal and just wanted to mount a pasta strainer somewhere or something.
Yeah.
But it's pretty goofy, I think.
All right. We'll talk about my new religion when we get back.
All right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
This is Michael Dean. I'll lose my voice, so I'm going to only be on two more segments. And I got things to do. I'm building the blockchains. And then we'll leave you in the capable hands of Mr. Lou Fien and Counselor Randy England, the in-house counsel for the Freedom Fiends, who will dissect the daily news. But I'm just going to yak about anything until then. The show about nothing, the Freedom Fiends. So, a couple things. One is I talked about that I have a bad umbilical hernia. It's from coughing. I didn't mention that, did I? I broke a rib coughing last year, and then the coughing for a year. I'm not coughing that much anymore, but the coughing like pushed my intestines out and trying to push them out through my belly button. So,
there. I thought I had a couple ribs removed.
Yeah, so I could to myself. Yeah. That's a rumor about Marilyn Manson that he had ribs removed so he could pleasure himself in that way by bending over. But so the other thing is I'm using a sippy cup because Jim Jesus spilled his coffee on all of his coffee, his whole coffee on his laptop, his open laptop last night, and was screeching and trying to get the battery out so it wouldn't fry, and cut himself, and so it's bleeding. There's blood and coffee everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
Like, seriously, he cut himself. Not enough to go to the hospital, but kind of bad. So, yeah, so I got a big old sippy cup. It looks a lot like, it's tall and thin and black. Ooh, it looks a lot like one of those, hello, Alexa, turn me into the NSA for everything I want to say to you. That thing. Which actually, on Mr. Robot, the only person who uses one is a female FBI agent who's lonely, and it's her only friend. I think that's kind of fitting. But, so... anybody watch the show Shameless, the TV show about the poor family?
No, I haven't seen that.
No, Lou?
Sorry.
No, that's... I actually did just buy a television, but I'm not going to get cable.
Okay, well, it's on Netflix, but... yeah, Lisa Fiend watched a lot of episodes of this, and it's, you know, I always ask people to turn me on to stuff. She said, check this out. I'm obsessed with it. Can't stop watching it. And I'm like, I had watched, it's an American remake, not scene by scene, but the same kind of, the same story, the same people as a British show that I watched a bit of a few years ago and hated. It had like no heart, no redemption. It was just all mean and not funny to me. And a lot of British humor is the funniest stuff in the world to me. So I didn't like it. But I checked out, at her recommendation, I checked out the American one. It's amazing. I'm loving it. William H. Macy plays the alcoholic, unemployable father, which right there, you got me. That's you know, you had me at William Macy plays an unemployable alcoholic. So it's a large family. You think you're Roman Catholic of like 12 people. And the youngest daughter... her name's Debbie, is played by an actress named Emma Kenney. And I was like looking up this show like I do when I like a show. She's a little redheaded kid in it. She was like, I don't know, 8 when they started, and she's like 15 now or something. We watched her grow up on the show, or we who have watched it. I haven't watched it all yet. I've watched 2 episodes and love it. Emma Kenney, I was like, why is that name familiar? If you go to the $30 film school page on Wikipedia, it says that Emma Kelly had the book, her uncle's copy of $30 film school, my book, when she was 9, and used its techniques and instruction to make a vampire movie, which got into a film festival and won a prize. And she ended up getting an agent, and now she's a well-known actress because of that. So I helped build that, and I'm pretty proud of that. It's cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yep. And she also plays the, in Boardwalk Empire, the woman that's married to Nucky, the main character, the Irish woman. This woman plays the daughter of that woman, like daughter from a previous marriage, Emma Kelly, Kenny does. So maybe I'll try to get her on the show. I don't usually interview people, but you know, people that say nice things about me that are famous, I'll always try to interview on the show. So there you go, man.
Yep. She'd probably come. She's a fan.
Probably do it if I get hold of her. And you know,
of your book,
the way to get hold of people for interviewing, here's a teaching hospital thing. You don't call their manager. You call their publicist. The manager's job is to get them work that pays. The publicist's job is to get them publicity. So, and that stuff's pretty easy to find.
You think she has both of those things?
I think she certainly does if she's in a hit, long-running hit HBO series. I think it's HBO.
Yeah, well, I don't know anything about it. I still
Showtime.
I'm working on getting a publicist and a manager.
For what?
Well, I don't know, but it sounded like I needed one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, we'll the difference between a manager and a publisher? I mean, a manager and an agent? 10%.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin BIPCoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, BIPCoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, BIPCoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading BIPCoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining BIPCoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take BIPCoin for stickers and buttons. Go to BIPCoin.org. That's BIPCoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.
I hate to quote Danny Glover, but I'm getting too old for this shit.
I don't hate to quote Danny Glover. I live for it.
And we are back.
I don't really. So
you got some you got some commandments. You found something that you like better than the NAP. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
The name of this episode is going to be Better Than the Non-Aggression Principle, and that's set in stone. So I was in prison. Well, jail. I was in Facebook jail for 3 days.
Got some mad toner done.
Because of weenies. I got totally pumped up and buff, and I wrote a couple. I wrote my autobiography in there and found religion. What else do people do in... Randy, what else do people do in jail, in prison?
Each other.
Okay, moving right along. All right.
Mostly it's boring. They try to play games like chess and stuff. And
yeah, checkers. I know. Read dog-eared old books, missing pages, because people burn them to make ink for tattoos. Oh, really funny thing. So my sister got, not 23andMe, the other one, Ancestry.com, did her DNA and did my dad's DNA. And my dad has zero West African. So my mother was the one. My late mother was the one with the darkie in the woodpile, as us people who are black say. So my mother was 1/32nd black. I always thought she had a lot more. Like, I got my musical talent from her and, you know, like my kind of my creativity. But I got my ability to yak and tell stories from my dad. Like, you know, he will sit around and gum his jaw itchy forever. I just do it with a microphone in front of me, and I'm a little more interesting than him, maybe, because I know there's a hero's journey and that you should have a beginning, middle, and end. He tries to do all of them at once. But my sister sent me the results for him, and they do a map. They have a map of, like, what regions of the world, and they have circles, kind of like Venn diagrams, like overlapping, like this part and this part is where your DNA is from. And my dad's were, like, the British Isles and then, like, Germany, and kind of overlapping, you know? And I said to my sister, Dad's ancestry is literally where the Anglos met the Saxons and nothing more. So, waspness confirmed. I think there were pilgrims with those people you're talking about, Lou, that, how'd you describe them?
Oh, they had belt buckles on their head. Yeah.
And they're fascists and communists.
Well, I've been listening to the Cultural Justice Warriors, and they're right. We do need to get back to traditional American Christian values of burning witches at the stake, killing people for dancing, communism, and wearing belt buckles on our hats.
Yeah, they did a remake of that, too. It's called Footloose.
What was communism?
The plot of Footloose
is an old American pilgrims were tradition communist, or something.
Basically, yeah.
Well, the pilgrims.
Well, the Puritans.
Well, you want to, you know, the ones that were mostly. I mean, those groups up there weren't the ones that were there was a group that was very, what was it, the Quakers? Who was in Rhode Island?
We're not even going to come near this. Ben, right. You should go listen to Ben Stone and Professor CJ. They've both done extensive episodes on this. We can't touch it. I'll just say that. You're trying to remember, wait, what's the group called? I'm just going to stop this and say, go to Professor CJ. What is he? ProfCJ.com?
ProfCJ.org or DangerousHistory.com. Just Google search Dangerous History.
Yeah. Yeah. Dangerous History Podcast. And Ben Stone, Bad Quaker. Go to his site, badquaker.com, and Google Thanksgiving. and I actually replayed one of those episodes on Thanksgiving on the Freedom Fiends at the end of the triumphant, quick, strange, and interesting and fun return of Ben Stone, who has left for various reasons. He's still around. He's doing well. He's doing better, but he stopped doing talk radio. And he wanted to talk one day, so I put him on for 15 minutes and then released an episode. We don't usually do them on Friday morning, but it was or Thursday, whatever. It was Thanksgiving. We weren't going to have a show, but then we did. And in the end of that, after him, is an old episode of Bad Quaker where he's telling why Thanksgiving is not something we should celebrate. And it's not just about the conquering, of the red man. It's even like the white man that came over conquering their own white man and making slaves out of them. It's not a racial thing, people. It's tribal.
The big thing, the nonsense that we get in the government schools is that people came over here to be free from religious persecution.
There you go.
The Puritans were horrible people. Like I said, they would kill you for dancing and for being happy.
Well, they came here for religious freedom, to have the freedom to kill people for dancing,
didn't come here,
for their religion.
They didn't come here to be free from persecution. They came here to be free to persecute.
To persecute. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. All right, so this is getting way off of my... I need to talk about my religion, because I only have part of a segment left, and I'm going to leave. So I found religion, and I'm not really religious, but I found some precepts that I really like. They're actually copyright. We won't say who, which is weird. They should be BIPCOT. I'm going to re-BIPCOT them, I think. But actually, the estate of this guy would sue me. He's litigious. I've heard that. So let's read these rules of the earth. There's 11 of them. We're going to skip number 10 number 7 till we're done, because it's the only one that's ridiculous. And then talk about why these are better than the non-aggression principle. And Randy said, I don't see who could argue with you on this. And I'm like, I think some people could, because there's some revenge-y kind of stuff in here.
Oh, what I would argue with some of them too.
All right, so let's go through them real quick, and let's go through them, and then if we have time, come back, and if not, I'll come back for the last segment of this hour, and then all right, so why don't we go around the room and each read one, starting with Lou, then Randy, and then me, and we'll keep going around, skipping 7.
Number 1, do not give opinions or advice unless you are asked.
I don't follow that, but I want everyone else to follow it, so I'll agree with it. Okay, Randy?
Fair. Number 2, do not tell your troubles to others unless they are sure they want to hear them. Same answer, Michael.
Same as number 1, yes. Okay. Although, you know, I say it on radio, people can turn it off.
You know, as far as becoming religious, you've got the hypocrisy thing down.
Oh,
did I say that?
Yeah, you did. All right. So number 3, when in another's lair, and I would include that to internet now, which didn't exist when this was written. When you are in another's lair, show him respect or else do not go there. I agree with that, and I follow that with myself and with other people. So
okay, so we're out of the 4. Hypocrisy woods here for
now,
you now.
For now.
Okay, yes.
Okay, Lou, number 4.
Number 4, if a guest in your lair annoys you, treat him cruelly and without mercy.
I think Nima and I did that when we had, for the second hour of the Chris Novoselic interview, when he quit talking about punk rock and started talking about politics. No, we were kindish considering, but you know,
I would say pretty freaking magnanimous based upon the nonsense that was coming out of his yapper.
Musicians should just shut up and play their music. That's
that 2-hour show was the best 1 hour of radio that I've heard in probably the decade.
The first hour was great. It was all punk rock stories from, you know, a guy who was in Nirvana. And then the second half is him talking about how we're going to fix democracy. Okay.
And make anarchy great again through voting.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Number 5, Randy. I like this one.
Well, I don't get it, okay, but I'll go ahead and read it. Do not make sexual advances unless you are given the mating signal.
Now, here's not to get, or do you think the signal is like a...
No, the logical problem is that, does this speak of one person or another? Because if everyone followed that, then the race would become extinct, of course. Because, and second of all, my second problem with it is that I realize I'm old, but I don't know what the mating signal is. I have 4 children, but I do not know what that is.
Hey, so you must have known at one point. I think this basically is saying don't be rapey.
I can spot the mating signal. It's called drunk and has daddy issues.
Oh, man. All right.
Well, five, you're really just you're six. Just really making everybody mad tonight, aren't you, Lou?
You're making fun of my religion. You're violating. I'm going to sue you and take this all the way to the Supreme Court.
I think this
you're,
is a hostile workplace environment. I can say that right now.
Violating my First Amendment right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Lou thinks that being in the fiends the longest gives you seniority. No, I've changed all that. It's now based on a point system, and you just went down one point. No, I'm kidding, man.
Well, no, I'm not. My personal counsel, Randy England, will be more than happy to counter.
My lawyer can beat up your lawyer. Oh, wait, it's the same lawyer. All right, Randy, beat yourself up and tell us who won.
I can't say anything more. I sense a conflict of interest here.
Number six, do not take that which does not belong to you, unless it's a burden to the other person and he cries out to be relieved. Wow. I like my religion. That one works in prison.
Okay, not number seven. Number eight. Do not complain about anything to which you need not subject yourself.
I agree with that. I block everybody. All right, Randy, number nine.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't agree with this one. Do not harm little children.
You can't agree with this one? Wait, let's
That's what I heard.
Say, Wait, no, that's
I,
not the right one.
You do agree. You can agree. Right?
I do not harm little children. No.
Good.
No.
Good.
Medium I like number 11. Children are fair game, but
what? Medium-sized. Oh man. Okay, number 10. Do not kill non-human animals unless you are attacked or for your food. I agree with this too. I don't really like the idea of hunting for sport. If you hunt for sport and then eat it, I'm okay with it, but I don't like ex-state reps who did not get reelected in Wyoming who have a permit to shoot cats and do it just because nothing else is in season and he's got to shoot something and watch it die every day.
How are you for like mouse traps or
they're awesome
bug zappers?
Yeah,
I would say trespassers.
You know, it's there you go. It goes back to number. This is like the Constitution.
Oh, that's an attack.
Anything on here to warrant anything I do. Yeah, like do not when in another's lair, show him respect or else do not go there. The mouse is violating number three. All right. The last
number
one, 11.
Number 11. I really like this one.
Me too.
When walking in open territory, bother no one. If someone bothers you, ask him to stop. If he does not stop, destroy him.
Yep. And this, I would say this fits, you know, walking down the street or in a field or in the jungle or on Facebook when someone just won't leave you alone. And I'm not destroying anyone who's bothered me on Facebook, but apparently some people are black knighting me. And I've been told to tell those people not to, and I'm not going to do it. I will not encourage or discourage people from black knighting me. And I just created a term, black knighting me. It's when dudes look out for dudes and are really kind of creepy about what they do to the dude that harmed their dude friend. And it's, I don't think the person who wrote this list would have a problem with it.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
We'll get it in, man. This won't be your last show, Lou.
I know. If you keep losing points, it will. No, I'm kidding. So that's the thing. There's no seniority in the Fiends anymore. The guy who just walked in the door can have more seniority than the guy who's been here the longest because it's a point system. And right now it's...
Well, that's not good for me because I've been here Shane since the beginning.
But you've never... You're the only person I've never thought of firing, ever.
Yeah, well, that's maybe not good. Maybe I'm just kind of too...
You know, you said that to me a couple weeks ago, too, that I was...
But that's changed now.
It was in the context of telling you... Oh, but soon after that, I was thinking, man, and I said to him the other day, this is the only... Remember that? All right. Little after show thing with you and me and Jeremy. Yeah, we won't go there. So... Anyway, someone asked me to define black knighting. One of you guys, I thought it was obvious, but it may not be. You may be right, so I will. So white knighting is a ridiculous term on the internet for basically doing anything nice for a female, especially on the internet. And it comes from this whole weird, like, pickup artist thing, this saying of like, now some of this kind of makes sense, some of it doesn't. It's MGTOW, it's a bunch of stuff. It's basically there's alpha males and beta males. Alpha males are like all three people on the show tonight and all the Freedom Fiends males. And beta males are, you know, the nice guys who finish last. And the theory is that, you know, hot chicks want to date the alpha males when they're young. And then when they're, they're guys that are often kind of mean or a little abusive or just pricks. And like, this is said by guys who say the way to pick up a woman is to walk up to her and insult her a little bit. So the theory is that, you know, the alpha males are the ones they want to date when they're, you know, between 14 and 30. And then when they're 30 and older, they want to settle down with a beta male who's the guy who will always be there for them, you know, who will do everything for them, who will support the children, give them children and support the children. And then, you know, then when she turns like 45 or 50 and the kids are in college, she divorces the beta male, takes all his money, and then becomes a cougar who starts dating younger alpha males again. So that's the theory. And in this theory, the way that beta males can get some is by white knighting women, which is like doing things for them that no one else will do for them, jumping to their aid like a white knight. And it's a really abused term because it's often used for anyone who helps a woman. It's used that way by guys who are just pricks. So I was joking, saying that
cucks.
Cuck. The word cuck enters into that whole thing there too. But So the black knighting, the way I used it, the word I made up, as far as I know, made up, is for there are some people who are kind of tormenting offline and online, some people who have been really mean to me for no reason, who've been insanely obsessed with me. And you know, the person who was obsessed with me, who is seems to have retreated because there are people punishing him in my name, black knighting me. That's what I said. Those people are black knighting me. They're being the opposite of white knight. They're white knight for a male, but not in a cucky way, in a manly, like dudes helping dudes way. And the object of that oppression asked me, kind of demanded that I get on the air and tell those people, leave him alone. And I won't do it. I just won't do it. I'm not going to encourage them, but I'm not going to stop them. So that's black knighting. And I'm going to be around a little in the second hour just for the top of the hour because we need to talk about True Crypt. So the religion I allegedly joined, let's read the one we skipped, and then people will probably figure it out. The one that's ridiculous and has no place on this list. But who wants to read? Randy, can you read number 7?
It is. Well, this is the only one that seems to deal with the supernatural. It says...
Yeah, that's why it doesn't belong in this
list. Acknowledge the power of magic if you have employed it successfully to obtain your desires. So I guess if you can't do it, you don't have to, you know.
If you deny the power of magic after having called upon it with success, you will lose all you've obtained. I'm trying to get this out
before.
Because I don't want to continue this in the second hour. So this is from, it's the 11 Satanic Rules of the Earth from Anton LaVey from 1967. I'm not a Satanist, and his Church of Satan was even more like Bubblegum and Barnum and Bailey than than most Satanists. And he actually started as an organ player live in Barnum and Bailey Circus. So
did he have a monkey? That.
I think he might have. But yeah, I don't know. But he's dippy, but I really like these rules of the earth, and I think they're better than the non-aggression principle. I think I'm gonna... The non-aggression principle is too simple. You know, it's a good idea, and most of the time it works, but it ends up with people getting their butt kicked in life.
These are, you know, these are thick libertarian principles.
I'd say they're thin libertarian. I get what you're saying. Yeah, maybe I am. Maybe I am now.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017. The Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Michael, are you there?
I'm there.
And Lou is with us.
It's wonderful.
I am there.
And I'm Randy England, and I think Michael has a little bit more to talk about before he goes off into the darkness tonight.
Yeah, I want to talk about TrueCrypt. Before that, I want to mention, though, that the picture for tonight's show is going to be a great picture that's recent of my 95-year-old dad sitting on a porch in suspenders, kind of looking really waspy, actually kind of looking like a plantation owner. That's really waspy. But it's in the caption, and he's got his finger up like he's going, and furthermore, because he's telling a story, and the caption says, Barack Obama is a liar. He's a socialist and his feet stink, which is actually catching on with people who've never heard the Freedom Fiends. Like, people say that, you know, put in any tyrant's name instead of Barack Obama. And that's catching on. I've heard that from people who don't know who the Freedom Fiends are. It's actually something my dad said when Neiman and I interviewed him 4 years ago when Jack was here in my house. That's his nickname. And
Jack the Dean.
Jack the Dean. Yep. A Dean called Jack. And yeah, we did an interview with him, and you know, I wouldn't do it over the phone because it wouldn't sound good. He can't hear that well, but he was here and we did it, and it was really good audio. And he said that it was so funny. Neem and I took that chunk of audio and made a loop of it and did a hip hop song around it. You can go to YouTube and search Barack Obama is a liar. No, it's Obama's feet stink is the name of the video. And I played music on it, and Neema and another dude, another rapper named Rich Black, who you may know on we follow him. He's friends with all of us on Facebeef, or friends of our friends, at least, on Facebeef and Twitter.
I don't think he's on Facebeef anymore.
Andre. He's Andre on Facebeef. Is he gone? Andre Silverstacks. So. Silverstacks is his username, I think, on something. Anyway, I digress. But this picture of Jack Dean, it's pretty funny because the title of the show is The Rules That Are Better Than the Non-Aggression Principle. Then it's got a picture of my dad saying, Barack Obama is a liar, socialist, and feet stink. It's a completely unrelated picture that I've wanted to use for a while. But it looks like that's one of the rules that's better than the non-aggression principle, which it may be to us thick libertarians. Randy demoted me. I think that's a promotion if you go towards the way I'm going, if you do what I want.
I demoted you as a...
From thin libertarian to thick libertarian.
Oh, well, anytime you add to the NAP is all. It's not that everybody adds to it. I mean, yeah, who could live on the NAP alone? Nobody.
Yeah.
So it's all right.
Man cannot live on bread and the NAP alone.
Alone, yes.
Words of wisdom. Is that Old Testament or New? That's New Testament, isn't it?
New, definitely new. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot more. It's a lot about starvation in the Old Testament. There's a lot about feeding the masses in the New Testament.
Well, they did have manna in the Old Testament, so there's that.
Yeah, they also had a lot of masses that were starving and enslaved and blah blah woof woof. So I want to talk real quick about TrueCrypt and then mic drop. I am out. Oh, Freedom Fiends pro tip: get yourself a Yeti mic. Yeti, what are they called? Blue Yeti mic. You'll have a mic to drop when you want to do a mic drop. They're horrible mics, but they're worth dropping. All right.
Get a Mr. Microphone.
They probably sound better in the way most people use a Yeti.
I already have one in my closet.
Mr. Microphone?
No, a Blue Yeti. I have one in my closet.
You just take it out and shoot it and film it. And then if you do that...
I don't have the heart to put it down, so it just stays there. All right.
Well, save it. You know, if this one ever... If your mic ever fails and you have to order another one on Amazon while you're waiting for that one, if you have a show, I'll issue on the show a libertarian indulgence for you to use a Yeti mic. But I'll also have you get it up off the table so it's near your mouth so it doesn't sound as bad. Like, you know, the way they have the table stand, it sounds bad. So I really want to get – Lou's got stuff to talk about. So let's get me out of here instead of continually digressing. Randy, what is TrueCrypt? What was TrueCrypt? First, I want to premise this. The BitTorrent this week, the torrents for the Freedom Fiends, every 2 weeks we put our stuff up. And you should be sharing these and torrenting these and seeding these to help keep us drone-proof after the boot comes down. Go to freedomfiends.com and look at the link that says Torrent Club in the top right, and it'll tell you all how to do it step by step. It says torrents top at the top. There's just one of the page lists. It says torrents, not like Torrance, California, but like torrent, like a torrent of water. So tonight's torrent is not only going to have all of these episodes and from the last 2 weeks and all the side interviews I've done about Bitcoin, except the one that was on Ernie Hancock's show, because he usually has pretty good audio. I don't listen that often. I'm usually asleep. I go to sleep right before his show starts at 7 a.m. But I like him. I like his show, but it's not a time I'm usually awake unless I'm on my way to bed. So I set an alarm, got up and did 2 freaking hours on his show. He couldn't get Skype working and, like, blamed it on me. Blaming an audio problem on me, really? I tried my second computer with a different mic. Didn't work. Tried my phone with Skype. It didn't work. He finally quit blaming me and said, oh, it's my fault, Michael. Sorry. And fixed it. And then we did. So part of the interview's phone. Sounds horrible. Part of it's Skype. Sounds pretty good. And then the end of it's phone and sounds horrible because he got droned during the show. Like, his internet went out for a couple hours, probably because we were talking about how to do distributed we're talking about Bitcoin and .bip, so you know they had to press the button to turn off his internet. So but tonight's archive, the 2 week archive, is not only going to have all those episodes in it, you know, all the interviews except the one that sounds horrible on his site, and all of the episodes in the last 2 weeks. It's going to have the install for the last working version, the uncompromised version of TrueCrypt for Windows, Linux, and Mac. And especially for all those people who always say, make it for my operating system. Unless you're running an Amiga still or a Commodore 64, I've got the software for you to totally protect yourself from government intrusion. So quit complaining about it on the internet and actually do something to protect yourself that you can start doing in a few hours when I put this up. Because the actual working versions of these are rare, and Randy's going to explain why. Go ahead, Randy.
The working versions, are we talking about TrueCrypt now?
Yeah, because the government compromised it, and they were contacted by the government.
Well, they don't know that's what happened. I don't think anyone has ever said why this TrueCrypt. It's a freeware. Yes,
3 minutes. Get on it.
Utility that you can create an encrypted volume on your disk and put files in it. And
on a removable disk. I do it. I carry.
Yeah.
I now
oh,
carry
sure,
a,
yeah.
a USB drive on my key ring that's waterproof and has all my important files. I update it once a week. It cannot, like, the NSA could not get into this. And I also include unencrypted, the install for TrueCrypt. So, you know, if my house gets robbed or house burns down, you know, I still have, like, the important files, including financial files. I'm carrying financial files around.
Do you still use the old TrueCrypt, which has been more than 2 years ago.
The pre-compromised.
Shut down. Yeah. And now the one that's out there is called VeraCrypt.
Well, yeah, some people took it on and started maintaining it, but I don't know. I don't know those people. I know TrueCrypt worked. So,
well, so what VeraCrypt happened real quick? Worked,
like,
worked
this is,
too. This is... Well, these guys, in May of 2014...
All right,
yeah, in May of 2014, the TrueCrypt website announced that the project was no longer being maintained and said you should go somewhere else, like Microsoft BitLocker. And
which
they
is
didn't
their
give any reason.
It's them saying we've been contacted by the government. I mean, it's like saying, you know, hey,
maybe so.
Freedom Fiends, mic doesn't work. If I said everyone should go use a Blue Yeti, you know, it's the last thing that they'd recommend. They're recommending an encryption that admits it has a freaking back door, you know.
Word. Yeah. But you don't know what the warrant canary meant. You don't know if there's something defective in the code or if the government came to
it
them.
Doesn't. It
doesn't.
And it
gave them orders that they
the
couldn't
government
obey.
Had to do that because... I was around when this happened. You're learning about this from I was a huge fan of this and read everything about it. I don't know, probably being a federal prosecutor.
No, I never was.
All right, let me drive because you're going to have me on for the rest of the show.
Do it, man.
You don't know the story. I'm pitching to you and saying pitch the story, and you don't know it. So, TrueCrypt was this great program that some people built. It was totally vetted. People, you know, looked at the code, looked at everything. Cryptographers said, it's unstoppable. You cannot decrypt this. And it's really easy to use. And, you know, they had it in three operating systems. It was a great program. And one day, the website went from being very robust and having all the instructions on how to use it to not even the design was good anymore. It looked like an AOL homepage suddenly. And it said, you know, we have found that our program is no longer secure. We recommend that everyone use BitLocker by Microsoft instead. And they issued a new version of TrueCrypt that could only decrypt. It could not encrypt. So basically, I believe the government held a gun to their head in some manner or another and said, you know, stop selling this or stop giving it away. They're giving it away. And I think that they did. We don't have a warrant canary set up, so we're just going to do something so ridiculous. People know we've been contacted by the government. You know, let's recommend instead something that, you know, is about as encrypted as a postcard sent through the U.S. mail. So that's what happened. And I have the last working versions. SHA is confirmed. MD5 is confirmed. These are the working versions. And people should read the enclosed PDF and learn how to use them. I'm not going to walk people through this stuff. I'm giving people a gift that's hard to find. You can read the manual. I read the manual and learned to use it myself a long time ago. So there it is. That's what TrueCrypt was. That's what it is now. And... yeah, or you can, you know, so there's a thing called, what'd you say, VeraCrypt, Randy?
Yeah, VeraCrypt.
All right, that some people picked up the code and are continuing to develop it, but I don't know anything about that. I know that the old one, you know, was so secure that it couldn't be broken. Put it this way, there are people who sat in jail for 2 years because the government said, you know, unencrypt this or else.
They couldn't break it. You're right. They couldn't break it.
Yeah. The attorney should never ask a question he doesn't know the answer for, and I made that.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When the final element issues, it's not because I need to know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep,
and Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. It's a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. It's a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now we're small. It's a real true feat, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now we're small. It's a real true feat, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now we're small. It's a real true feat, they gotta collect them all.
This is Lou, and I'm joined by Randy England, the in-house counsel for the Freedom Fiends.
Hey, Lou. And
we're going to go into some completely not current events. And something I wanted to talk about tonight is the story of August Lahnmesser. You may not know the name, but when I finally get around to telling you what he did, I'm pretty sure that most of you out there listening are going to know exactly who I'm talking about. Some of you might know the name right now. Don't spoil it for the people around the world that are listening by like screaming real loud. So anyway, August Lahnmesser, he joined the Nazi Party in 1930, and he did that because the economy was really a mess. The repercussions of the Treaty of Versailles, meaning the reparations and the restrictions, it eventually led to the hyperinflation and the interwar period for Germany was really, really, really rough. Yeah, the treaty tried to make Germany great again. But anyway, because he figured that it would help him to find more stable work and to have political connections, he wound up joining the Nazi Party. Now, he wasn't a Nazi himself, but he joined the party because that was how you got ahead. So anyway, little did he know that would wind up giving him problems down the road. So in 1934, he met Irma Eckler, a Jewish woman, and the two fell deeply in love. Their engagement a year later got him expelled from the party, and their marriage application was denied under the newly enacted Nuremberg laws. Interesting. So they make a law prohibiting the marriage of Jews and non-Jews. So kind of like segregating the marriages there. All right, cool. They had a baby girl, Ingrid, in October of the same year, and 2 years later, in 1937, the family made a failed attempt to flee to Denmark, where they were apprehended at the border. August was arrested and charged for dishonoring the race and briefly imprisoned. So he violated the racial purity laws and was put in jail. In court, the two claimed to be unaware of Eckler's Jewish status, as she had been baptized in a Protestant church after her mother remarried. In May 1938, August was acquitted for lack of evidence, but with a severe warning that punishment would follow if Lahnmesser dared to repeat the offense. Officials made good on their word, as only a month later, August would be arrested again and sentenced to hard labor for 30 months in a concentration camp. He would never see his beloved wife again. So, because he wouldn't leave his wife and decided to try and have a family and do normal people stuff, he was imprisoned again. Meanwhile, a law was quietly passed that required the arrest of Jewish wives in the case of a man dishonoring the race, and Irma was snatched up by the Gestapo and sent to various prisons and concentration camps, where she would eventually give birth to Irene Lahnmesser and Eckler's second child. So the second child was born at the concentration camp. Both children were initially sent to an orphanage, though Ingrid, spared a worse fate for her status as half-caste, was sent to live with her Aryan grandparents. Irene, however, would eventually be plucked from the orphanage and sent to the camps, where a family acquaintance not to have grabbed her and whisked her away to Austria for safekeeping. Upon Irene's return to Germany, she would be hidden again, this time in a hospital ward where her Jewish identification card would be lost, allowing her to live under the noses of her oppressors until their defeat. Their mother's tale is much more tragic. As her daughters were being bounced from orphanages to foster homes to hiding places, Irma ultimately met her maker in 1942 in the gas chambers at Bernburg. August would be released in 1941 and began work as a foreman. 2 years later, as the German army became increasingly mired by its desperate circumstances, Lahnmesser would be drafted into a penal infantry, along with thousands of other men. He would go missing in Croatia, where it is presumed he died, 6 months before Germany would officially surrender. The now famous photo... Hang on. Landmesser likely found... Okay. All right. They were both declared dead in 1949. In 1951, the Senate of Hamburg recognized the marriage of August Landmesser and Irma Eckler. Their daughters split their parents' name, Ingrid taking their father's name, and Irene keeping the mother's. And when we come back, I will tell you the significance of August Landmesser, if you don't already know.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT. .org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs, so check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
So, to finish off the story, August Landmesser. Really, it's a heartbreaking tale to hear it. So, who is this guy? If you don't already know, he's the man who refused to salute Adolf Hitler in that picture that goes around the internet. And Randy, you were telling me before that when you saw it, what was going through your mind?
Well, you look at the picture. It's from June 1936 at a Nazi, I think it was a place at a shipyard where Hitler was speaking.
Yeah.
And you look at the picture and you almost have to ask yourself, you know, when you see it, say, I wonder what happened to that guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess you might think, you know, probably wasn't good. And it wasn't. I mean, they made his life a life of hell until they ended it.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife and his kids, you know.
Well, there's one point that I really want to get across to people. When you and I are looking at this picture some 80 years later, we're looking at it through the lens of history. You know, in 1936, a lot of the really bad stuff hadn't happened yet. As a matter of fact, a lot of the German public didn't even know about the concentration camps until after the war had happened, and many of them refused to believe it. They're, you know, kind of like American kids when they find out about the Indians, and they're like, oh no, not our government. They wouldn't do anything like that. But and these people did not know. So a lot of people today would say, wow, he was really heroic. And it's more than just heroic because he doesn't have the benefit of knowing what's going to happen in the future. He's going by what he has personally experienced through the abuse that he and his wife have gone through. So it's more than just heroic. And I imagine that just about everybody in the crowd was thinking, my God, look at that unpatriotic traitor that hates his country. He should just get the Feinstein out and move to Somalia or something like that. He should go live somewhere else if he doesn't like Nazi Germany. Why can't he salute the Führer like everybody else?
Although it didn't seem like anyone noticed him when the picture was taken. You know, well, nobody looks at him.
Right. But what's really interesting on that is, and I've talked about this before, it's called the Führer Principle or Die Führer Prinzip. And it was the idea that Germany was Hitler and Hitler was Germany, and the exuberance over Der Führer was so great that it was almost like one of those churches where he starts speaking in tongues when they just get so caught up in the spirit. And that's how it was for them. So I imagine that the people around him were probably not even paying attention, but had they seen him disrespecting Der Führer and not being patriotic enough, it's quite likely that they would have torn him to shreds.
Although, you know, you could argue they're paying less attention to the guy in the picture than we pay attention to the quarterback who won't stand for the national anthem.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing about the quarterback is he feels that wrongs have been committed. Now, whether they've been committed against him personally or if he's looking out for other people, I mean, that's his thing. But just like Lonmesser, he's considered a unpatriotic traitor that should move away. And incidentally, he tried to move away, but he was stopped at the border because
Want him to move away.
Yeah, he was in possession of a Jewish wife, and that's a good way to get arrested there. So anyway, this whole topic leads us right into the next one, and this may be the best article that's ever been written in the Washington Post
ever,
and the title is "The Right Has Its Own Version of Political Correctness." It's just as stifling. Conservatives use patriotic correctness to regulate speech, behavior, and acceptable opinions. And I'm going to go with the first couple paragraphs here. President-elect Donald Trump has not been shy about the big problem in this country, political correctness. Trump has blamed PC for the attack at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. They have put political correctness above common sense, above your safety, and above all else, he tweeted. And the rise of the militant group Islamic State, his voters agreed indeed, it might even have been the reason for his victory. It's not just him. Political correctness has become a major bugaboo of the right in the past decade, a rallying cry against all that has gone wrong with liberalism and America. Conservative writers fill volumes complaining how political correctness stifles free expression and promotes bunk social theories about power structures based on patriarchy, race, and mass victimhood. Forbes charged that it stifles freedom of speech. The Daily Caller has gone so far as to claim that political correctness kills Americans. But conservatives have their own nationalistic version of PC, their own set of rules regulating speech, behavior, and acceptable opinions. I call it patriotic correctness. It's a full-throated, unnuanced, uncompromising defense of American nationalism, history, and cherry-picked ideals. Central to its thesis is the belief that nothing in America can't be fixed by more patriotism enforced by public shaming, boycotts, and policies to cut out foreign and non-American influences. Wow, that sounds kind of Soviet, doesn't it?
You know, it does. I'm not picking up a whole lot of balance in the article. The writer obviously wants to point out, number one, there is this patriotic correctness, which there's no doubt that there is, and really wants to go after it. But, you know, I wonder, you know, it's a full-throated, unnuanced, uncompromising defense of American nationalism, history, and cherry-picked ideals. And, you know, it kind of strikes me that although it's the same thing, if you, I remember, the second Gulf War, the internet wasn't around in the first one, and I can remember getting onto some websites where people would just be rabidly, you know, favoring going into war in Iraq, and you would get on there, and you would just be totally shouted down. It's kind of weird to be like the only person, like one out of 1,000, who has taken the contrary view, and everyone is screaming at you that you're the coward. I mean, here's 1,001, you know, armchair warriors, and one of them's being, you know, cyber beating on by everybody else, and that one person's the coward because he doesn't want to go to war. And it's mostly of that nature, that you're the shaming, the boycotts and that. But I really do think there is a difference. I mean, both the left and the right are real jerks about this, but the left-right thing is not really equivalent, because the left is making far deeper, more dangerous inroads than the right, because they're making un-PC speech punishable by law. Well, if that is as bad as it gets, because now we're talking about harming people, putting them in prison, fining them, taking their property, running their businesses the way we see fit. I don't see that as happened yet on the patriotic correctness.
Actually, it
but
is.
But it could. But it, well, how it, do you think?
It is, because there's a lot of these keyboard warriors that they're demanding that anybody that burns a flag go to jail, lose their citizenship. As a matter of fact, I think even Trump had advocated that.
I agree completely.
A year in jail and lose his citizenship. And I think that was even a little bit harsher than what Hillary called for, because she called for flag burning. But here's a thought for you, for all the patriotic people that think that flag burning should be illegal. Somebody asked me not too long ago, and he's a very patriotic person. He says, "What do you think the punishment for burning the American flag should be?" And I says, "I don't know. Probably the same thing that should be the punishment for an American soldier over in the Middle East that burns a Quran or desecrates one of their holy symbols." And you should have just seen him. And he just jumped back. His face turned into a canceled out postage stamp, and he was like, What? No, we can't do that, because those are our guys. And quite frankly,
it would be death over there.
Yeah, but here's the thing: if you're gonna say death to the infidel that desecrates my holy flag, then you're just a statist radical fundamentalist and going around screaming "Murica Akbar, Murica Akbar."
Yeah, I guess I don't disagree with you in that people are calling for the government to come down with a criminal force on these people, but it's already happened on the left, and you can if you have the wrong view on, say, same-sex marriage, you know, you can lose your business because you wouldn't bake the cake for the Nazi or for the same-sex wedding, you know, whichever. I'm mixing and Gary Johnson up here, but he said the same.
So the LP and the Democrats are in agreement.
Yeah, maybe. Well, yeah, they are. Yeah, they really are. But there's on the left, they're further down. Their progress is so much further than on the right. On the right, we're just starting but on the right, they're just talking about doing these nasty things. On the left, they're already doing it. You know, you might be a student in a university and you say the wrong thing, and suddenly you're out on the street and you're not going to school anymore. They are actually doing the things that I'm scared to death they might start doing on the right.
Okay. Do you think that the right would not do it given the opportunity? If they thought they could get away with it, do you think they wouldn't?
Well, they may have the opportunity, so I'm hoping that it doesn't get that far. I can't imagine. There's no way. There's Supreme Court decisions, you know, on the flag burning issue. That seems to me that is, there's no way it's going to fly. I don't see how they can reverse that.
Well, quite easily, they can come up with laws and reverse it, just like the constitutional amendment prohibiting alcohol was put in place and then reversed.
Oh, you mean by an amendment of the Constitution? Yeah. Well, of course, anything's possible.
They can come up with other laws, and they can stack the court to get their 5-4 decision that says, no, if you burn the flag, then, you know, Murica Akbar, get out.
I don't know. The flag burning thing just always drives me nuts. And the same thing with the quarterback, you know, who won't stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance. The whole thing's insane because these idiots say their soldiers dying, you know, overseas, so that you have the right to do that. Does that even connect up? Does that make any sense?
Soldiers died for your free speech. Now shut the Feinstein up.
Exactly so.
But let's go a little bit further back in history then. Under the Espionage Act, it was illegal to speak out against the war.
People went to prison.
Yes.
Federal prison, World War I, World War II.
We'll be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigi-est place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the Bipcot No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, Bipcot, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
And we're back for the last few minutes of the show in this second hour. And we were talking about patriotic correctness. And I think when we went out, I think maybe perhaps I was pointing out that the left and the right are both doing the same thing. And I felt that that the left had perhaps was ahead of the right in terms of using coercion against people who are politically incorrect, and that the right, while they perhaps would like to do some of the same violent things to their opponents, maybe haven't gotten that far yet. And I guess we, now that Donald Trump is the president, we'll see how far that can go. I was hoping that the Supreme Court could protect us, Lou. There's more than one decision from the U.S. Supreme Court that burning a flag is protected speech. But you pointed out that, you can't amend the Constitution, and of course you're right. So
funny thing, from 1935 to 1995, I believe it was, 70-year period, 60-year period, something like that. I believe there was not a single thing that was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah, they loved everything. They loved everything.
So that was the majority of FDR's time. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't say anything. I thought I had a dropout there or something. Yeah, there was a long time back there. You know, during with FDR and that, they were, that was back during the time when they decided that growing a cob of corn on your own land was to engage in interstate commerce, and we've been stuck with that idea. Yes. Specifically in that case, it was wheat. Yeah, but it applied to everything.
Because it would affect interstate commerce, because you would not be buying wheat from somewhere else. That was the justification under Wickard.
That court would have been able to decide that breathing air was engaged in interstate commerce, I'm afraid.
Probably.
Because if you couldn't get air here, you'd have to buy it from somewhere else, I suppose.
Or the wind would blow it from somewhere else.
Yeah.
But anyway, was there anything else that really jumped out at you in the in this article here?
Well, not really. In the article, going back in the memory pile of the old, remember the Freedom Fries? I think they were talking about that from when the French were not willing to join in the coalition in the Middle East. And so everybody was mad that one of our favorite potato dishes was named after the French. So they put Freedom Fries into the congressional cafeteria. And then also going back to World War One, where they had the Liberty Cabbage, because the Germans were so fond of sauerkraut, and they didn't want to call it They didn't want to call it sauerkraut, so they came up with Liberty Cabbage. Well, it was kind of funny, though. The Liberty Cabbage was actually, the idea was thought up not by people that were mad at the Germans, but by people that made sauerkraut, and people wouldn't buy it anymore because they thought it was German.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Here's a section that I like. I enjoyed the whole article, and I'm going to have Michael put this in the show notes, along with the article about August Lawnmesser, but from the Washington Post article. Believing in American exceptionalism means that anything less than chest-thumping jingoism is capitulation. Unionized public employees who can't be fired are bad at their jobs and are more interested in increasing their own power than fulfilling their public duties. Except if they are police or border patrol officers who are unselfishly devoted to their jobs. Yeah, the right, they hate the government, but they love the police and military. They love the people that impose government. The crime rate is high and rising, so when facts show that criminality has declined substantially over the decades, the patriotically correct respond with appeals to the bubbled feelings of the common man.
And you remember what... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
You remember what they did to the Dixie Chicks?
Yeah.
You know, back 15 years ago, country radio, it's been a safe space ever since. You're not going to hear any unpatriotic speech in that area that I can imagine.
So the conservatives are looking for people wearing safety pins with Play-Doh and coloring books and blankets and cookies so that they can feel safe and not be bothered by the patriotically incorrect. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for coming on, Randy. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Hey, good night, Lou. Good night, everybody.